chapter 3, verse number 9. With the help of the Lord tonight, we are going to continue with a message I have titled, A Heart for Souls. I don't think I gave the title of it last Wednesday. And we laid a little bit of a foundation. We're going to try to go a little further here this evening. I want to emphasize with Pastor Sapp, and that is family camp that is coming up. And beginning July the 8th through the 10th, if you can get just one evening, and be real treat to you, if you came up on an evening and spent the night and was able to make the day services, it's a great camp. There's no registration. It's free. You will love it. The ministers this year, as every year, are greatly used of the Lord. And you will be blessed. Your family will be blessed. We bring our family up every year. And it's just a great, wonderful place to be. There'll be probably 2,500, 3,000, maybe more. And choirs from around the state will sing. Last year, Tabernacle Pentecost sang, and really was a great blessing. Either last year or the year before last, I can't ever remember years. It was some time. And you'll be glad you came. And we'll certainly get the vans to, if you can get together, want to go as a group, we'll do that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Are you thankful that God is long-suffering to you? I am so thankful that God is long-suffering to me. I am thankful. Long-suffering to usward. And here's why. He is not willing that neither me or you or anyone else should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. His whole purpose of waiting and being long-suffering is that you and I will somehow, some way, through the reading of the word, through the preaching of the word, someone that God sends our direction, something will awaken in us, and we will come to repentance over whatever area in our life that we need to, because he does not want us to perish. It is the heartbeat of God, and that is the lost souls of this world. And it needs to be the heartbeat of the church, reaching the lost. I hope that before the Lord is done with us this year, remember our theme is purpose of the church in the world. And we have been talking about the greatest purpose for the last couple of months, and that's reaching souls. I wish we would eat it, breathe it, think it, dream it, and that it would just become such a part of us that it's built into our lifestyle. It's built into who we are, reaching for the lost. Do you know God has individuals that he has already planned to use you to reach? He knows who they are. He's putting all the little variables together, and he has full intentions of using me or using you to reach those people for him. I don't want to miss that visitation. Do you? I want to be so sensitive and aware that when that moment comes, here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your compassion upon us. We thank you for your long suffering towards us. And Lord, this wonderful group of people that are here tonight, this Wednesday night crowd in the middle of summer, because they are hungry for your word. I ask, Lord, that you take all the gold that is here and you put us in the fire. And somehow we will come out, Lord, just a little purer in you, just a little more sanctified, a little more consumed with your burden and your passion. You told us, Lord, your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And God, I just pray that we would get a hold of that, that it would become a part of our life, and that we would be consumed with reaching the lost. Touch us with your word tonight. That is my prayer. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. And so last Wednesday night, there were a couple of things that we talked about. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. We read the story of Solomon's prayer and how that he came before the Lord, and that even though he had so many things at his access, so many things that he could have asked for, even God himself said to Solomon, you could have asked for long life. You could have asked for riches. You could have asked that I would hand all of your enemies over to you, and you would be this great, powerful king in the world. And no matter what you would have asked, said, I would have given it to you. But we talked about the fact that that's not what Solomon asked for. Even though all these things were round and about him, he was not consumed, at least this part of his life. He was not consumed with the things of this world, the things that God could give him and the ways that God could bless him. But what overwhelmed Solomon was that when he looked out and saw the masses of the people, he said, Lord, I am but a child. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to go out. You have put upon me, I'm sitting on the throne of David. You have made me king of Israel, and I don't have a clue how to do this. This burden that's been laid upon me, this responsibility that has been given me, God, I don't have a clue. Lord, what I ask from you is that you will help me be able to discern good from evil, that I will know how to come in and out before your people, that I will behave myself properly, and that I will be able to judge and discern properly amongst the people, and that I will be the leader amongst the people that you have called me to be. And we launched off of that a little bit, and we began to talk about how that this same responsibility has been given to me and to you, that there are masses of people in this world that need to hear the gospel. And we are going to be introduced to people every day of our lives as we walk through our life. And we need to be careful. And this is what we sort of got from this text last Wednesday, that we don't become so consumed with the things of the world, with the cares of life, with what I will or will not wear. And the Word of God talks about this in the book of Matthew. And we dealt with that a little bit, that we cannot serve two masters. And the Lord said, take no thought for these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all of these things unto you. Now, it preaches good, and we rejoice in it a lot, and we like to hear it. But the bottom line is, this is actually a very difficult thing to live. It's not an easy thing to get up every single day and not be consumed with the cares of this life. And the cares that are thrown at us every day, and the burdens and the passions, and that we are so wrapped up in it. And that's what we spoke about. So wrapped up in us. Even in our trials and tribulations and persecutions, things that God allowed to come our way, we learned that if we would just realize it's not so much necessarily about us, even though God's going to do something in us, but He allowed it to come our way because at the end of the path, at the end of the trial, or maybe right in the middle of the dilemma, God has someone He's going to put in your life that He's going to want to use you to reach them, because they are an eternal soul. But if we're so wrapped up, if we're so blinded, we've wrapped the blinders of life about us, and the trial has become just about us, and the dilemma is just about us. We can't see anything else. It's just us. God, help me. God, deliver me. God, walk with me. Lord, it's about me. I need, I need, I need, I need. When really it wasn't ever even about me and you, because God had us the whole time. You see, we're here. We're His. And nobody can pluck us out of His hand. Nobody can harm us. We're protected by Him. He wraps His arms about us every day. He loves us. He clothes us every day. Better than He clothes the lilies in the valley. And He knows us better than the sparrows, hundreds of thousands of sparrows that light down upon the ground. The Bible says, fall to the ground, but it's talking about a sparrow coming out of a tree and lighting down upon the ground. Billions a day, every day. The Lord says, if I see every one of them, don't you think I see you? I know where you're at. I know you're in the valley. I know what you're going through. I've allowed it because I trust you. I love you, and I know you're able. I know you're going to come through. In fact, you're going to come out purer than you went in. You're going to come out better than you went in. He said, but what I need from you is to get unwrapped from all of this stuff that you've let just bind you up under this burden and load, and realize that there's a soul that I'm bringing to you in the middle of this that I want you to reach. And so we learn. I don't want to preach that all over again. I got somewhere I want to go tonight, but I tell you, it's so good it could be used, it could be preached again. And so we learn that, you know, not to get wrapped up in all of these things. We looked and learned and talked about not to allow the current circumstance to distract us from having a passion about souls. Now, this is where we really live, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is everyday life that we're talking about. Everybody in this building, including Pastor, we have our own difficulties of life. We have our own circumstances. And, you know, you might look at the billionaire and say, oh, he doesn't have problems. Let me tell you, he's got a billion of them. And he's wrapped up in every one of them. That's his main problem. And then you look at the poor person, and, you know, they have, listen, it doesn't matter what stage of life you are in, what economical status you find yourself in, what social status everybody has their own bubbles of trouble. Can you say amen? We all live in our own bubble of life. And God walks into this. And this is where we live. This is where we walk. And it's what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to us here today, is that somehow we must mature as Christians and stand up on our feet and realize there is never going to be a day without trouble. That's Bible, Patrick. Brother Cowell, that's Bible. The word of the Lord says, few and short are the days of men, and they are. You're not ever going to wake up, Brother Faircloth, or you're not going to have a problem. I mean, it's every day that we live. It's everywhere that we go. There is trouble in our life. Every advancement you make, there's going to be trouble. Everything, if you get a promotion, it comes with trouble. You get a raise, it comes with trouble. Are you breathing? Then you have trouble. And so somewheres in this, God is saying to us, I need my church to mature and understand that trouble is going to be every day. And if you're waiting for the perfect day to be used by God, you'll never be used. And so the Lord is saying, what I want you to get a grasp of is that I want to use you in your trouble. I want to use you in your dilemma. In fact, that's where I can use you the most, because that's where the world lives. That's where the world lives.
We live in a world of trouble. You listen to the news. Something I suggest strongly you do not do. It is so depressing. But I was driving to church today. This is something I never do. Never on a Wednesday, never on a Sunday will I ever listen to any news or nothing. I'm not interested in their news. I'm interested in his news. But I broke my rule. And I think I'm almost pulling out of my driveway. And I turn my radio on. And news is on. And they're talking about these precious people in Greece. And their country is on the verge of bankrupt. And the banks have shut down. And people retired, living on retirement. They can go to the, once a day, they can go to an ATM machine and they can draw $50. And that's what they have to live on. And most of the time when they show up, there's no more money in that ATM machine. And they don't even get their $50 for today. Now, that's a country that's in trouble. And they would interview some of these, what do they call them, Grecians? And if that's a word. And people from Greece. And they would, you know, interview them. And you just heard it all. Almost every one of the interviews, their favorite word was trouble, trouble, trouble. We're in trouble. It's trouble. It's troublesome. It's worrisome. It's trouble. Listen, we live in that kind of world, and it's just beginning. It's going to be everywhere. I don't want to freak you out or scare you. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And the United States of America is not exempt from it. We may be the most powerful country in the world today, but God could change that tomorrow. You understand that? We went from a housing thing where people were making millions and hundreds of millions of dollars in trading homes, and then it seemed like overnight it was gone, and now all of a sudden everybody's losing their property, everybody losing their businesses, everything was falling apart, and we're just barely climbing out of that right now. And the news a few days ago, this is why you should never listen to the news, they were talking about, they had an expert who predicted all of these different crises, and he says, I got news for America, there's a crisis coming that's going to make all of those look like just little bedtime stories. He said, the economy of America, we are at $19 trillion in debt. It took us 201 years to get to $8 trillion. We've had an administration in the last 8 years that took that $8 trillion to $19 trillion. They said when it reaches $24 trillion, there is no turning back. It's over. We are the next Greece. And you're going to wake up one day and the banks are going to be shut down. And you're going to get your ATM card out. And America, the government is going to tell you, you can get 50 bucks out. The problem with that is bread's going to be $15. Milk's going to be 12. And you're going to say, well, but I got money in the bank. No, the banks are closed. I'm telling you, not only can it happen, it will happen. So this is what God wants to know from me and you. Are we mature enough to understand that we're not the only ones hurting and that there's going to be hundreds of millions of people that don't even know God who are facing the same thing? And the Lord is saying, what I want to know from you is that in your trouble, will you reach for a lost soul? You say, but I'm worried about this. And no, God says, you don't have to worry about nothing. I told you I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You'll always have something to eat. There'll always be clothes on your back. I'll put a roof over your head. I'll take care of you. It's what he said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll add all these other things unto you. Come on, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, let's become burdened for the lost. Let's get a heart for the lost. I'm telling you, I believe things would turn around for a lot of us if we would just become consumed about reaching the lost. I think God would just start moving things around for many of us. All right. I'm still reviewing. It's almost time to quit. Seek first the kingdom of God. He said, I'll add all these things to you. James chapter 4, verse number 3. The word of the Lord says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. Now listen to the words of the Lord, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, I'm not going to teach about prayer tonight. It's just going to seem like it. I'm really teaching about having a heart for the lost. But if we don't deal with our prayer life in this, we'll never accomplish this goal. Because I'm going to show you scripturally that the main focus of prayer in the Word of God has always been about the loss. It's never been about me. It's been about the lost and reaching the lost. And James tells us right here, he says, yeah, you pray, you ask. I'm going to unbutton my jacket. You're going to have to forgive me. I forgot my belt. Forgive me. And it's a weakness. My wife wasn't there to dress me, and I found my shoes, and I forgot you're supposed to wear a belt. So anyway, she's out picking people up. She left too early. This summer thing and not having to set up and tear down, messing everything up. He says, yeah, you're praying. He said, but you don't receive because your prayer is about you. And everything you're praying about, you're just wanting to consume it and you're wanting to put it upon your own lust. And you're not concerned about the kingdom and you're not concerned about loss. You're just a spoiled brat. Everybody say, my bubble of trouble. That's where we live. And God is trying to help us. And as long as you're consumed in that, you'll never be happy. Let me rephrase that. As long as we are consumed in that, we will never be happy. I'm trying to put myself in the bubble. Because good Lord knows I got one. And mine's thick. He's been trying to pop that bubble a long time. He can't get nothing through it. Just goes, woo, bounces right off the surface. And we're in this, what we're going to call this bubble of trouble. And it's about us and praying about us. All right, let me continue. I'm boring myself. I know I'm boring you. Let's see. We way too often allow our prayers to be about us. Look at your neighbor and say, quit praying about you. Tell somebody, look at them, tell them, say, don't you know God has you in the palm of his hand? Tell them, ain't nothing going to happen to you. The devil don't have a chance in your life. Don't you understand that? Sister Nikki, the devil don't have a chance. He can't touch you. You got a bubble of trouble, but in your bubble of trouble is about 9 layers of prayer. He ain't never going to get to you. God's like, what are you worried about? Why are you fretting? I'm going to care for you. I'm going to take care of you. But in the meantime, I've asked you to do something, and it's the whole training ground. It's the whole purpose of boot camp in your life is I come to die for the lost. He said, I've come to seek and to do what? Save the lost. But too often our prayers about ourselves. Now watch this. Let's go a little bit here. Matthew 5:43, I put them on my dilly over here, Sister Donna, I forgot to give it to you. 5:43 says, and ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for who? But see, this is us. Lord, you see what Brother Mott is doing to me. He's despitefully using me. Get him, God. Whoop him. Whoop him good, Lord. When I come to church next Sunday, I want his head hanging down. I want to hear some bad things. I want him to talk about how bad his week was, God. Then I'll know you own him, God. You own him. That's our prayer. But we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. Why are you praying against flesh and blood? Flesh and blood can't touch you or hurt you. The Lord said, no. When you pray, don't pray against them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Love them that hate you. Do good to them that do bad to you. Why? Because God's all about souls. It's not about us. It's about them. God says, I'm not worried about how they're treating you. I'll take care of you. I'm not worried about whether they lie on you. I'll make sure the truth comes out. I don't care if they get your raise. I'll make sure you get your raise. You pray for them. You love them. You help them. You reach them. You bless them. Because, Brother Edward, it's about souls. It's about souls. Now, verse 45, when you do all this, this is what he says, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You want to know if you're a child of God? Do you love your enemies? Do you bless them that curse you? Do you do good to them that hate you? Do you pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you? If you do, he says, then everybody's going to know. Let's talk about prayer. Because prayer is one of the main areas where we get wrapped up in ourselves. And I'm trying to help us break out of that. And pray powerfully in the Spirit. And if we're going to pray powerfully in the Spirit, then we have to pray obediently to the Word. You know, these lot out there will tell you, well, you know, just believe it and God is wanting to do this for you and bless you this way and bless you that way, and it's always physical. You know, you ever notice that it's always a physical thing for them? bigger houses and fancier cars and bigger parties and bigger bank accounts and bigger, 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 bigger. And God don't have a problem with any of us having any of these things as long as his kingdom is first. But the point is this, that's not scriptural. It's not scriptural at all. The word of the Lord makes it very plain to us in the word of God what prayer is really about. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Matthew 6 and 8, 6 and 7 on verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, right? For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The very first thing is him. He's first. The very next thing is his kingdom. That's second priority. First priority is him. Your relationship with him. It doesn't do you any good to save the world if you don't save yourself. Right? And so first is him, worship, relationship with him. Second is kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And trust me, that is about souls. Because that's what his kingdom is. It's about reaching the lost. He says now, then he goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. You establish your relationship with God. You seek the kingdom. Because he said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, I'll add all these other things to you. Let souls be a priority in your life. Let the function and the working of the church and everything that needs to be done to be cohesive and move through this ungodly world and have an incredible impact upon this world. Be a part of that. Be a Sunday school teacher. Be a Bible study teacher. Be someone that picks up the vacuum cleaner and vacuums the carpet. Be someone that visits the sick and goes to the jailhouse and brings groceries to the poor and just work, make sure the church is doing everything it's supposed to be doing in this world, reaching the lost and reaching out to the saved. He said, then when you get done with all that, go ahead and pray for your daily bread. Everybody say your daily bread. We want to pray for our centennial bread. We want God to give us enough so that we're taken care of for, 10 years or 100 years. Not daily. Daily bread means daily prayer. Yeah, that's going to happen. I thought I'd let that sink in a little bit. Our daily bread. Here it is. It's always about souls. Forgive us our debts. However, he makes a condition. As we forgive our debtors. I want to tell you the scariest thing you can ever do is have unforgiveness in your heart. Because I don't know about you, but I need the forgiveness of God every day of my life. Every day. Rosemarie, I can't afford to have unforgiveness in my heart towards anybody. Because I can't remember a day. I can't remember a day that I made it 24 hours that I didn't need God to forgive me of something. Something. Whatever it might be. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, he wraps up the entire teaching of prayer on this foundation. This last verse is the foundation of everything that preceded it. For thine is the kingdom. And the power and the glory forever. Everything is about the kingdom. Look at Matthew 9 and 36. Everybody say prayer. So we're talking about prayer, but we're really talking about having a heart for souls. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep, and having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. And this is what he commanded them to pray about. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You want to know what you pray about? Pray about laborers. Tonight when you go home, before you put your head upon your pillow, you get down upon your knees and you say, God, West Palm Beach has 1.8 million people. Our church runs 500 on a really good day. God, we're such a small percentage of the lost that are in this city. Lord, we need laborers. God, send me to somebody that will be a laborer in your kingdom. Make me a soul winner. Make me a laborer, God. He said, that needs to be your prayer. You say, but my rent's due. God knows that. You say, but my car note's due. God knows that. You say, but I've got that. God knows that. Don't you understand that? He said, I know everything before you ever pray. He said, I know your need before you ever ask. And it's okay to ask, but first seek the kingdom of God. Before you ask about this, this, and this, and this, why don't you ask about laborers in the kingdom? Why don't we become kingdom-minded? Let's find out what will happen in our life if we become consumed about the lost. I'm telling you, it will transform us. It will transform your family. It will transform everything about you. Mom and dad, you become soul winners. You won't have to worry about your children getting lost. You know why? They will be soul winners. They'll be soul winners. They'll reach the lost. Luke 21 and 36 says, you want to pray about something? Why don't you pray about making the rapture? Pray in the Spirit, Romans 8 and 26. Ephesians 6 and 18, pray for the saints. 1 Timothy 2 and 1, pray for the lost. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men. I pray first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I'm on 1 Timothy 2 and 1. When you pray, the first thing you pray for is men. Souls that are lost. He went on in the very next verse, verse number 2, and he says, while you're praying for men, he said, pray for kings, pray for your president. He said, pray for those that are in authority. Pray for Congress and the representatives and the Senate. Pray for your leaders in your county and in your city. And why do we do this, he says? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and holiness. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. Are you following me? Who will have all men to? Who will have all men to? Who will have all men to? So why did he say pray for the president, pray for Congress, pray for leaders in your city, pray for everybody that's in authority? Because the bottom line is two things are going to happen. One, you're going to live a much peaceful life. And two, that their souls might be saved. God says they need to be saved. Pray for them. If you don't pray for them, they're not going to be saved. And I wonder how many things might be different right now if the United Pentecostal Church would be complaining about the immoral leadership of our country and just get on our face and pray for the immoral leadership of our country. Instead of having sessions, Brother Powell, about how wicked the Supreme Court is, that they would legalize and force upon our country marriage between men and marriage between women, what would have happened if we had spent about 3 months as the United Pentecostal Church of America on our face praying and fasting and seeing what God would do? I think maybe a lot of trouble that's in us and a lot of trouble that's with us is because the church is asleep when it comes to prayer. Now, we're not asleep when it comes to prayer about us. We got that part covered about how difficult things are and how mean people are to us and how dare so-and-so do such-and-such and say such-and-such and how dare this and how dare that. And then we go into our little, you know, we think we got God fooled, you know, and we get down there and we go into our little self-pity thing and woe is me, and we don't really pray against them, but we know that it's like a dad looking at a little girl and saying, and honey, who did that to you? Who? And that's what we're expecting to come. God saying, I know who did that to you. I was there when they did it, and I didn't appreciate the way you responded. Now, that's the kind of daddy we serve. I was right there when it happened, and I don't appreciate the fact that you didn't submit yourself to your brother. You didn't yield to your sister. You didn't prefer one another. Man, I got to hire a guest preacher to preach all this stuff so I can preach all the fun stuff to you. Y'all going to vote me out here one day. When I leave, he leaves, so y'all better be careful about that. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. You have never met a person in your life that God did not desire for them to be saved. You have never nodded your head to someone in passing that God doesn't desire for him or her to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Remember the woman at the well? John 4:27. Don't have time to go through all this. We've preached it before. Disciples show up. They go in. They get lunch. They're in the city. There's 12 of them. They get lunch. They're so wrapped up in themselves. They're so wrapped up in their own kingdom. It's not about God's kingdom. Lord, when are you going to establish your kingdom upon earth? They weren't worried about his kingdom. They weren't worried about the loss. No. That was their kingdom they were talking about. When are you going to make us rulers? When can we control the Romans? When can we beat up on the Egyptians? When can we rule the earth? Not for you to know. 12 men in the city got their nose snubbed up. They're in the area of Samaria, and so there's a bunch of half Gentile and half Jews walking around, and not even worthy for them to be speaking to them. And they make sure they're real careful how they touch the paper and everything. They want to make sure they don't touch anything that defiled half Gentile and Jew has touched. And are you sure this is kosher? Well, we'll make it kosher. You can't make it kosher. You're undefiled. We'll go make it kosher. And they put in everything together, and I'd probably even look at the dirt and kind of try to step maybe where the other one didn't step. And they finally make their way out. Whoo, man, they take their hankies out, you know, and they wipe their brow and say, whoo, that one over there almost touched me. Did you see that? That was so close. I'd have had to spend a week outside the camp just undefiling myself. I almost got touched. And I think one of them even smiled at me. How dare. And they finally make their way out, and here they come. They approach Jesus and the little Samaritan at the well with the Lord, and they get close. The next thing they know, She's dropped her water pot. She runs back in the town. They make their way to the Lord, and they begin to talk to him. And he says, lift up your eyes and behold, for the harvest is white unto harvest. And here comes that one little lady, and she's running back from the town, and she's got everybody the disciples had walked by. She's got the market man they bought the meat from. She's got the dairy lady they got the milk from the goat out of. She's got the vegetable market guy and his family over here they bought the vegetables from. Everybody they were near that they avoided and walked around because they were so wrapped up in their own dilemma and their own kingdom and their own stuff. And she comes running out of that city and she's got them all with them, and all she said was, come see a man. She didn't have any theology. She didn't have any knowledge. Well, my father say we worship in this mountain. Woman, you don't even know what worship is. You don't even know who God is. You're clueless. Well, they say the Messiah is going to come. He couldn't hold it in any longer. I am he who speaketh to thee. I am that Messiah who's come to seek and to save the lost. You know what she did? She dropped the most valuable thing to her. She dropped her provision. Because for some reason, unbeknownst to her, all of a sudden, life here didn't really matter that much. She left her provision behind. And she sought the kingdom of God. And the Lord said, if you'll seek first the kingdom, I'll add all of these things to you. You know what I got a feeling of, Sister Maynard? I got a feeling she brought all them people out. And we don't know all of this, but we just have to kind of speculate. They had revival back down there with Philip. All these people that had heard about this and had this experience, they come and run into this great revival. Who's he preaching about? Oh, he's preaching about that same man that we ran out and met just a few months ago. And now he's pouring out this thing called the Holy Ghost, and they laid hands on them, and they spake in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them the utterance, and they were baptized, and it's all because of that one woman who got kingdom minded and not self minded. And I got a funny feeling when she walked by the fish market, the fish man said, here you go, darling. When she walked by the milk market, the milk lady said, here you go, darling. When she walked by the vegetable counter, the owner said, here you go, darling. If it wasn't for you, I would not know the man. He said, don't worry about these things. Get consumed about the kingdom of God. And if you'll get consumed about my kingdom, I'll take care of all of these other things. You know, we study the word of the Lord concerning intercessors. We follow these men. Abraham intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? The verse 24, peradventure there be 50. God, if there's just 50 souls, if there's just 50 souls in that city, spare it, God. But you and I, no. You know, we get some family turns bad or goes bad or whatever, and we cut the whole family off instead of praying, saying, God, spare the children. Lord, save their marriage. Father, surely there's some goodness in there somewhere. So, God, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them. But look what they're saying about, I pray for them. Oh God, oh God, oh God, lift them up. Let me be a base, exalt them. Let me be cast out, but take them in. Let me lose, but let them win. Why? Because you're already in and you know it. You're one of the 99. You're in the safe. You're inside of that fence that God had set up. And you know God's going to take care of you no matter where you go or what happens to you. God's going to be there for you. But the lost sheep out there is in the midst of wolves. And God says, that's the one. He gave us that example. He said, I'll leave the 99 and go for the one. Because the 99's okay. But that one is out there. He might have a broken limb over on a cliff. And he might be there and can't make it. And the wolves are about to devour him. And he can't help himself. He can't get back. He's just lost and undone. And oh, that my people would be willing to love him and reach him and touch him and have a heart for him. You see, none of this stuff, Bob, is going to happen if it don't start right here. See, this is what we lost. This is what we lost. We don't bleed for souls anymore. We don't weep for souls anymore. You don't find us laying on bed going, oh God, so many people dying and going to hell. We walk every day, we walk by 10,000 people, and it never crosses our mind that every one of them, if they died today, they would burn in a hell eternity. I don't even know if we believe in hell. I'm not sure we even believe in eternal destruction. This is where it's got to happen. Abraham didn't say, oh God, spare Lot. Abraham wasn't just concerned about Lot. You know who was concerned about Lot? Abraham never mentioned Lot. God was concerned about Lot. It was God who said, Lot is a righteous man, and he's over there in Sodom and his kids, and I'm going to go down and see what's going on. No. When Abraham heard that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he fell on his face, and his prayer wasn't for a man. His prayer was for the city. If you can find 50 righteous, will you spare this city? Yes, I'll spare it for 50. Lord, I don't mean to be presumptuous here, but if you find 40, will you spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it for 40. God, listen, I don't want to be rude, but if you'll find 30, will you spare it for 30? Yeah, I'll spare it for 30. God, please don't be angry with me. If you find 20, yes, I'll spare it. How about 10? Yes, I'll spare it. Why? Because his heartbeat for lost humanity. Because this is the purpose of the church. To reach lost. And what an example from the Father of our faith. Spare the city. Moses was so in love with the people, he said, Exodus 32, 31, he said, if you're going to cut them off, you cut me off. He said, well, God says, well, I'll raise up a whole nother nation with you. I don't want another nation. He said, these are the ones you made the promise to. And you're going to cut them off. You're going to kill them. Kill me. I don't want no part of it. Because Moses had become so attached. Look at everything that he went through. I'm going to try to bring this to a close. Look at everything he went through, Brother Sapp. I mean, God shows up in a bush. I want you to go get my people out. Okay, that's all right. Let's go make it happen. I don't talk good. That's all right. I'll give you Aaron. Okay. Said, well, they probably won't take my word. You know, that the creator of the universe showed up in a mulberry bush. And he said, all right, put your hand in. Signs and wonders and miracles. I'll be with you. So here's Moses, humble man. The Bible says the most meek man ever lived on the earth. Humble, humble, humble. Never felt for a moment he deserved being in the presence of the king of Pharaoh. certainly didn't deserve being used of the Almighty God. And so he stands in the place of God, and God says, let my people go. No, you know the story. I'm certainly not going to go through that. One plague after another, and he's there, and he takes that rod, and he strikes the water, and it turns into blood. Look what God is doing. Strikes the sand, they turn into lice. And the other plagues, whatever they are, he calls for the crickets, and they eat everything. And he calls for what's all the plagues? Have frogs come out of the water, flies eat the meat. Who? Oh, darkness covers hell. See, they believed in hell. Hell came down, cattle died, ends up with the firstborn. Moses has been through a lot with these people. Dude, he walked across the Red Sea. Dolphins coming in and out the sidewall, orca whales, and perch. And they get all the way across and drowns Pharaoh's army. God gets mad and says, move out of the way, Moses. I'm going to kill them all, and me and you will start over. And he goes, whoa. We are not starting over. I did not go through all of that for you to wipe this out and me and you get something going. You're going to kill them, kill me, and find somebody else. Here's the difference between Moses and me and you. Moses loved them because he invested in them. He went through stuff with them. When the flies bit them, it bit him. When the lice bit them, it bit him. When the water turned to blood, it turned to blood for everybody. It turned to blood for Moses. It wasn't until later in the plagues that God spared Israel from certain plagues. I think the hail and a couple of the light and the dark and a couple of other things. But the bottom line is Moses had been through a lot with these people, and he wasn't about to give up on them. The difference between him and us is we have no investment in anybody but ourselves. No wonder we love ourselves so much. No wonder we pray about us so much. No wonder we're so upset when we get offended, when we get hurt, when something comes against us, because we're completely invested in us. This is hard preaching. I am so glad I'm the one preaching it, and y'all are the ones out there having to listen to it. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. This is one time. Usually I say the opposite, right? I say, man, I wish I was out there sitting where you're sitting. I had somebody up here preaching when he's preaching. I'd be shouting and running so good. Not tonight. Tonight I'm perfectly fine to be right up here. I want to tell you what. We start investing in someone, and we won't give up on them so easy. You buy them groceries. You bring them to church. You teach them Bible studies. You work with their life. And when something goes wrong and they fall and they relapse back into alcoholism or back into drugs, or he goes out and commits acts of immorality again, you're going to be right there in the middle of that mess between him and his wife, one hand on her and one hand on him, trying to hold them together. Why? Because you're invested and you don't want to let the devil take it out. And it's like you're saying, God, I'm not going to let no one take this. If you take them, take me. I want to see them saved, God. I've got investment in them. And I'm here to tell you, if we will begin to invest into somebody, it'll change our lives. And when we go to prayer, it'll be about them. When we think about the power of God, it'll be concerning them. When we think about forgiveness, it'll be about them. Almost done. Elijah, when he prayed, 1 Kings 18:37, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." I'm talking about how we need to start restructuring our prayer. Now, Elijah, is Elijah or Elisha? Which one am I dealing with? I'm pretty sure it's Elijah with a J. J's first, S was second, right? Yeah. And so you got the 450 prophets of Baal. They've been dancing all day, cutting themselves. Blood everywhere. The God that answered by fire. And I'm closing with this. The God that answers by fire. Let him be God. Half the day goes by. The time for the evening sacrifice is coming. So Elijah gets up and says, "Okay. We know. You know the story. Go get the water." I think 12 barrels of water all together poured. I want you to saturate it. I want you to know that there ain't no fire in there. The fire ain't coming from down here. The fire's going to come from up there. Saturates that thing. I know what I'd have done if I'd been Elijah. I'd have hit my knees and I said, "Lord, the first thing I want you to do is consume those 450 fools. Burn them up." Now, the next thing, and I went down my little list with Jesus. Elijah gets on his knees and he says, "God, that your people might know your God." That was his concern, that your people might know your God. He wasn't concerned about his reputation. He wasn't concerned about whether they would or would not believe that he was the prophet of Jehovah. It wasn't about him. You don't find him in that 63-word prayer anywheres at all. But he ends that prayer with, "God, that your people might know that thou art Lord and that thou hast turned their heart back again." The very next verse, the very first part, when he talked about the people, Bible says, "And the fire of the Lord fell." Because when you get concerned about the people, let's stand. When we get concerned about the people, that's when the fire of God is going to move. You know, we had pretty decent church around here last Sunday, like us apostolics like to call it. Man, we had great church. There was no preaching. Like preaching's that bad. But we know what we're saying. What we're saying is God moved in so powerfully, like the temple where the Bible says, and the ministry could not see to minister. God just came in and took over, and he did some. In fact, we had so many testimonies about that service, especially when we did the burden part and how burdens lifted and they felt the burden of the other come on. And some talked about the person they had their hand on, the pain flowed through their arm and pain came into their side on the person that they were touching. And then it went out and left, and they just, all these testimonies of the miracles that God did. But I'm going to tell you what's really going to get the fire burning in our services. And that's when our passion turns back to the people. And we fill this place up with lost souls. The reason why we had such a powerful move of God a couple of years ago in Rock is that there were so many that needed the Holy Ghost. We had promoted it as a Holy Ghost rally, and all those kids from all over the state brought all of their friends that needed the Holy Ghost, and 124 kids received the gift of the Holy Ghost in one service. Powerful. And I believe it's what God is calling us to, that we learn not to be consumed with our circumstances so much that we're blinded to the people. We're so wrapped up in us that we're not reaching. And our prayers are so directed, focused inward. And God is trying to tell us, look, I got you. I got you. You don't have to worry about you. You okay. Even if you die, you okay. Because you're going to heaven. You're laying up in that bed, you're dying of cancer, and someone next to you laying up in bed and they're dying of cancer. You're saved and they're not. Who do you think God has their eyes on? His eyes on. It ain't you. Because in a few minutes, you're going to be with him. He's not worried about you. You're about to be the most blessed person in the universe. You're going to be walking on streets of gold, and that old stinking rotten body going to die. But that person next to you, they're not so lucky. And so God says, hey, in your last few breaths, you think I can use you? In your last few hours of life, what do you say? Will you let me use you? Will you reach one more soul? Will you get your eyes off yourself and get them on somebody that needs me? In your dilemma, in your trouble, what do you say? While you're going through what you're going through, you think maybe I could use you while you're here? Reach someone else that's going through the same thing. You know I'm going to take you out of it. They don't have a clue. They don't have that hope. Not being consumed in ourselves and our dilemma, but maturing and understand that God wants to use us, and always having our eyes on the kingdom and always focused on the lost, always looking and always reaching. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll take care. I'll take care of everything else. And letting our prayers be focused on the lost. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful group of people here tonight. Oh, God. They're the gold in your treasure chest, Lord. They're the silver. And Father, each one of us, we have our own situations of life. But Lord, your spirit has been speaking to us for the last couple of months. And these last couple of weeks, you have been speaking into our hearts and our minds and trying to help us to understand it's about the lost, it's about the kingdom, and that everything about us should be consumed with that. Our prayers should be consumed with that. In the midst of our valley of the shadow of death, we're still so consumed, Lord, in reaching the lost. Father, I pray for a heart for souls. That's what I ask upon this congregation tonight. Lord, that you would baptize each one of us with a heart for souls. Lord, you said you would take out that heart of stone and you would put in us a heart of flesh, and you would write across our heart the laws of your commandment. Oh, Father, I ask you, Lord, I pray, touch us tonight. Let something happen on the inside of us. Let a passion be reborn in us. Let a desire be recreated on the inside of us, oh Lord. Father, you have us just where you want us. You've got us in life just where you have ordained us to be. And oh God, help us right here where we are to reach someone, to touch someone, to be there for them, to bless them, God. Lord, to reach out to them, to bring you to them, to share your truth and your word with them. Oh God, to be a witness with our life. Let our very life be a witness, Lord Jesus, to them and to their families. And oh God, Lord Jesus, let us be consumed, Father, when we wake up in the morning, it's souls. When we go through the day, it's souls. When we lay down at night, it's souls, it's souls, it's souls, it's souls. Father, we ask it. We call to you, Lord. I'm asking you to baptize this church with it. God, begin to work on us. Nudge us in the right direction. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our spirits. Oh, God, don't let our lives be the same. Let something in us change. Let something in us break, oh, God. Father, let the innermost being, let that artesian well break forth on the inside of us, and let it cry out, let it call out, oh, let travail come. When we travail over the lost, when we pray for our families and for our neighbors, God, when we cry out to you about our enemies, Lord, and those that are out there and those that are lost, oh God. Jesus, in your mighty name, Father, in your mighty name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hando kotora la 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 moho shaka babakahaya. Jesus. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, walk into this place. Walk into this place, oh God. Walk amongst us, oh God. Let every heart hear, every mind hear, every spirit. Oh God, let us all connect with you right now. Come on, everybody. Come on. Let there not be one dry eye. Let there not be one hardened heart. Let every mouth be open. Let every heart be calling. God has walked into this place tonight. He's come to touch us, bless us. He's come to change us. He's going to redirect some of us. He's got new things for some of us. Oh, yes, he does. He's leading us in the direction because our souls. Oh, let there be a passion born. Let there be a hunger born. God, in our souls. Souls. Souls, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, church, I feel it. My God, I feel angels in this place. I feel an angelic host amongst us tonight. The glory of God is in our midst. He likes what he hears. He likes what he hears. He likes what he feels. Your heart crying out. Your soul crying out. Oh, God, give me a passion. Oh, God, let my burden increase. Oh, God, I want to reach the lost. Send me out, God. I want to be a laborer. Send me out. Send me out. Here I am. I'll go. Here I am. Send me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Jesus. Sweet Lord. Sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that God has the answer for it. Brother and sister Coffee, God has that answer for you. God has that answer. Sister Kimona, lay hands on Sister Coffee right there. Sister Gigi, lay hands on Sister Coffee. Brother Legis, come over, lay hands on Brother Coffee. Give me some men to pray with Brother Coffee. Give me a couple of men over here with Brother Coffey. Come on. They're going through a very tough, difficult time right now. But I'm going to tell you, I felt in the Holy Ghost, the Lord wants us to pray for them in this situation. Not between them. They're doing fine. But a situation in their life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak into that situation, God. You know what it is, and you have that answer. You know their heart. Their heart is for the souls of men. Lord, they are witnesses, God. They spread this gospel. Their mind is on the kingdom. They trust in you, Father. Bear your arm. Bear your arm. Show it strong. Show it strong. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, the Holy Ghost is in this place. Power of God is upon us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep praying, church. Listen, the Lord just spoke to me. I'm telling you, there's going to be some deliverances here tonight. There's going to be miracles. God's going to confirm His word. You've been put in His kingdom first. Souls is a passion of yours. God's going to take care of your financial need. He's going to bless you. He's going to bless your business. He's going to bless your finances. He's going to take care of these situations in your life. Come on now. God's going to confirm His word. He's not a man that He should lie. Hallelujah. You haven't been praying about yourself. You've been praying about souls. You've been praying about the kingdom. You've been asking God for laborers. God is going to honor that. Maybe some of you are just starting tonight with it. Maybe God gave you a revelation and you're going to get it in your heart and you're going to realize this is what you need to do. I'm here to tell you, God's going to confirm His word for you. He's going to show you this is true. He'll never let you down. He'll never forsake you. He's there for you. He's there for you tonight. He's here to minister. He's here to bless. He's here to touch you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Souls. Oh God, give us a heart for souls. Give us a heart for souls. Jesus, in your name, your kingdom, oh God. Your kingdom, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hakotoko yala da da no moho shaka ba 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 kahasa da 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 ba. Ia da 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 moho toka ta ta da ya da 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 moho shanda la da 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 moka ta ya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Father. You are wonderful. 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 You are beyond measure. You are beyond measure. You are beyond measure. You are beyond measure. You're beyond measure. Oh, you're beyond understanding. You're beyond comprehension. Your love, your goodness, your mercy, your kindness. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
My. Sweet Lord. Sweet Lord. Sweet Lord. God, you're the miracle worker. 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 You're the miracle worker, God. You're the miracle worker, Lord. You're the miracle worker. You're the miracle worker. You're the miracle worker. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just one more time, can we lift our hands for a moment? I want you to say this. If you're a Holy Ghost filled, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to say this. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to sacrifice self. I have the power to deny myself so that I can do the will of Him that sent me. Come on, I want you to absorb that in your spirit right now. You have the power by the Holy Ghost. Come on, you have the power by the name of Jesus. You've been called. You are in the kingdom. You are in covenant relationship with God. And the Holy Ghost is working in you. And the Holy Ghost is telling us tonight that we have the power to lay down our will, to lay down our lives. Hallelujah. So that we can reach somebody else that cannot save themselves. Hallelujah. Church, you need to remind yourself that you are called and that you are filled with the power of God, that you are anointed, and that through the anointing you can reach, you can minister, you can do good, you can publish the gospel, you can pray the prayer of faith, you can reach somebody. I'm telling you, that power is ready. It is alive. Hallelujah. It's wanting to break out if we will only come into this knowledge that we have what it takes to do what needs to be done. If you're ready to do it, shout yes. Come on, if you're ready to be more involved than you've ever been in the work of God, shout yes. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because Christ is in me and He's given me the power to do it. Oh, would you clap your hands? Hallelujah. Thank God for this word. I feel like scales have been removed off of our eyes, and we're starting to look at the thing that God is concerned with, and that is humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful presence of the Lord. I love you. God bless you. You're the most wonderful people in the world.